And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And now, if it is the first Monday of each month from 3 to 4, Practical Business Solutions, starring Jim Hyten. Right now we're Hyten and Lewis. Jim, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Dave?
Oh, good. We're having fun. Our coyotes are not having fun. But we'll see what happens on that. You know, I'm a big hockey fan, but who knows what will happen.
You go to all the games, don't you?
Yeah, I do. See, I have my little press pass here, and tonight, a tough game, Anaheim Ducks. They did beat Anaheim on Saturday. That was interesting. They came back, had a great third period. So we'll see what happens. All the parity in the NHL, it's you know, a lot of teams bunched up. Who knows how it's going to turn out at the end of the short season, as a mini season, we'll call it.
That's right.
So anyway, we hear, you know, Practical Business Solutions. Where do you get? I always said this. Where do you get a phenomenal a phenomenal attorney and a CPA in the same room at the same time, and they won't charge you?
That's right.
It's
That's
here.
Right. Yeah,
Practical.
It's here.
That doesn't happen, right?
No, it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. So I like it. We have great advice for people, and today after our opening, we're going to talk a little bit about the sequester a little bit, see what's happening there. Probably nothing. But then we'll talk about starting a business, what to look for, legal, business tax, and maybe an existing business, what they should double check.
Right.
And if you buy a business, you know, what are some key items there? But, okay, so sequestration, what I understand, my understanding, it's 1.2 trillion over 10 years. It's a 50-50 split between defense and domestic discretionary spending. I don't know what discretionary means, quite honestly. it's, what is it, about $85 billion a year they're talking about. So what do you know about this sequester deal, except it's hard to pronounce?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I guess it went into effect, and so now, you know, everybody was predicting kind of the end of the world if it went into effect, and nothing really happened. So,
yeah, nothing did, right?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't look like the stock market did much with it, and everything's kind of the same. So I'm sure things are going to change, and there will be some cutbacks. But, you know, the biggest – as I say, Dave, the biggest problem with this is that, you know, when you listen to everybody talk about it, it all comes back to, you know, on one side, the Republicans are saying, well, we'll come up with a bill and do something to make it easier for the different departments to allocate these cuts. And on the other side, it was, well, no, we won't do that unless we can raise some revenue at the same time.
A lot of immobilization, nothing's rolling.
Yeah, and when they say raising revenue, they're talking about revising portions of the tax code, raising rates, and you and I are in the business of advising people on taxes. And so how do you advise somebody when almost every month you're getting this thing about, we may raise some taxes or cut some deductions? I mean,
it's almost impossible, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what do you tell people? How do they plan? And that might be the tragedy about this is, will that in itself, you know, stump or you know, slow down the economy? That in itself, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is difficult to plan, and it's not fair to the small business owner or the big business owner, right?
No, it's not. And you know, in the old days, we used to have a budget bill, and then we'd have, you know, every couple of years we'd have a tax bill. You and I have been around long enough. We remember the Tax Reform Act of 86.
Yeah.
Tax Reform Act, and I go back to even remembering the Tax Reform Act in 1976. I mean, so, you know, there's a lot of these tax bills that would come out, and they were all – everybody put the tax provisions in. So you and I could take that bill and look at it and say, this is what are the changes. Now – and the budget bill back then didn't have a lot of taxes. It had some, but not big things in it. Now, I mean, like the fiscal cliff provision that was passed at the beginning of this year, you and I went through that page after page after page of tax provision.
Yeah. There was actually, wasn't there?
Yeah, just a ton of
actually it. More than I even thought. I mean, I started reading that. I go, wow, they did this, they did that. I mean, I know they certain things we sort of predicted, but there was a lot more than I thought, and probably a lot more than you thought, too.
It was more than I thought.
There
was a lot of stuff that got in there at the last minute.
Yeah. That was huge, actually, wasn't it?
And it was a lot.
Yeah. So if I said it seems like Washington seems to operate under a cloud of crisis, is that true or false?
I think that's true. I think every month we have another crisis was sequester, and then the budget bill, and then we're going to have the debt ceiling will come along again. You know, it seems like there's always this brinksmanship, and you know, boy, you'd hate to be in like a business like oil and gas, because every time it comes up, they're saying, well, we're going to cut back on the benefits we give oil and gas. Well, what does that mean?
Exactly.
If you're in the oil and gas business, what does that mean?
Well, I heard BP, what do they call BP? They were in court this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened, but sounds pretty tough, though, in terms of the financial issues that relate to them. But I don't know. I just thought of that for some reason. I was thinking in New Orleans. But, you know, and so the sequester deal, you know, $1.2 trillion over the next 10 years, as we said, $85 billion this year. You know, some say they'll lose employees from education, military, law enforcement, courts, you know, national parks and more. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Maybe there's wiggle room, and so hopefully no one loses their jobs.
You would think that that would be the idea. And I think I did hear that there was a bill that was going to be passed that was going to give the different agencies the ability to move those cuts around.
Okay.
But then I heard, again, if you don't pass it with you know, tax increases, we're going to veto it. We're not going to pass
it. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So I mean, it's kind of like.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It just seems kind of nutty. I don't know. As I say, when I talk to people about what's going to happen with income taxes anymore, you just have this continuing discussion because it goes on all the time.
Yeah, it seems like it, which is just really unfair. I mean, people want let's put it this way. Don't people want certainty in their lives?
Yes. Yeah.
How does that, in your opinion, how's that impact business, your clients, for example?
Well, I think it does, because people want to know, if I buy this equipment, can I write it off over this period of time? If I go into an expansion, can I write it off over this period of time? And you know, the thing about that is that most people, when they're doing that, it takes some planning. So it's not like they can go out tomorrow and buy everything and say, okay, I'm under this the tax code as it is now. It takes them a while, especially if they're building an addition to a plant or expanding. And in the meantime, while they're trying to do that, they're having all these discussions in Washington about, well, maybe we're going to do something to depreciation. Maybe we're going to do something on amortization. And so you say, well, really, should I go forward with this or not? So
no, you're quite correct. And like you said, there's more battles coming up. I believe March 27th is a potential government shutdown. And I think that's where the funding the federal government expires, it seems.
Right.
Unless there's, the continuing resolutions evidently, are they going to pass something? Well, you think they're going to play chicken with the American public and allow the government to shut down? They can't do that.
I had heard something on the news that somebody had said that they were going to come in with, you know, they're going to say no shutdown, let's pass a bill, let's make sure that we're going to fund it for the remainder of the fiscal year.
Yeah. Well, so that would be, at least a step in the right direction, I guess.
Yeah.
You don't want to shut down the government. I don't even know what that would mean. Like, what would that mean? The traffic lights would go off automatically?
I don't know. It'd be hard to know.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen one of those. I think it's happened before.
Yeah, it did.
Do you remember when it did?
It happened. I think Newt Gingrich was the Speaker of the House when it happened. Bill Clinton was in office.
Really?
Yeah, but it was only a short time. Everybody agreed it was just not the thing to do. So,
oh, man.
I mean, but as I say, when everything comes back to tax policy, you never can be sure when the next battle is going to blow up and somebody's going to say, well, we have to have this change to the tax law. You know.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to do? Both sides. I think they said they need to reform the tax law. You think that will happen, or?
You know, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, it. One of the things that I was just reading about the other day is that some states are going the other direction. They're saying they're going to do away with their income tax, and they're going to reform their sales tax. And broaden the reach of the sales tax and just get rid of their income tax.
Wow.
And you know, one of the things that does, though, which, you know, may not be helpful for you and I, is that the sales tax would then be broadened out to reach services like legal services and accounting services and things like that.
Oh, that might not be good. So we have to then charge sales tax?
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be so good. More accounting.
Yeah, yeah. And there are a few states that actually do that, too. So, you know.
Yeah. That's, really? So the states are might be going that route.
I can't. There was, I think, was it Louisiana? I think Governor Jindal down there was talking about doing that.
Yeah,
there's
I think
a couple
you're
other
right.
states. And that's a really big change.
That is a huge change.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's interesting to do that. I wonder what the federal government would do. I mean, they've always talked about a national sales tax. Is that something good or not good?
I don't know. My fear has always been that it wouldn't be instead of the income tax. It'd be in addition to the income
tax,
which
saying.
Would be even worse.
That could be a tough situation then.
Yeah.
So. No question. So, anyway, that's our remarks on the sequestration. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm getting good at this, right? Sequester. Hey, that's even easier. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about, hey, if you want to start a business, always a good time to start a business, especially if you just got laid off and there's no work, why don't you start a business? And we'll give some advice, some legal tax, and practical business solutions. That's what this is right now, starring for Jim Hyten right now, or Hyten and Lewis, and we'll be right back.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the first Monday of each month from 3 to 4, it must be Practical Business Solutions, starring Jim Hyten, the great law firm of Right Now, or Hyten and Lewis. And Jim, we were doing a little bit of chatting on the sequester. Now, a quote from Warren Buffett. Everyone knows Warren Buffett, yep. Right? Smart yep. guy, right?
Sure.
I mean, whether you agree politically or not, but he, you know, he's done a lot of good stuff in his life, give away to charity stuff, and he's built some great organizations. He said he could end the deficit in 5 minutes. All you have to do is just pass a law that says that any time there's a deficit of more than 3% of GDP, all sitting members of Congress are ineligible for reelection. How would that?
That's great. I like that.
That's sort of funny, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you think about it, you know, just from a humanistic standpoint, everyone sort of has self-interest. It would sort of flip their self-interest a little, like, well, maybe I better compromise.
Yeah.
Or else
yeah.
I'm out of a job.
That's right. That's right.
What do you think of that?
It's interesting because, you know, there's no term limits back there. So, I mean,
yeah.
you see a lot of politicians go back there, and the first thing they do is start running for the reelection.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Does that sort of cloud, yeah. you know, probably on both sides, how things are run?
They can always say that it doesn't, but how does it not cloud, you know,
yeah.
your decision making when you know you're going to be running for reelection?
Yeah.
And you want to keep doing what you're doing. So,
yeah, I think you're right. And how about this? What if there was a Congressional Reform Act of 2013 that had no tenure, no pension?
Yeah.
Would that maybe?
That'd be good. That'd
maybe
be good.
That would. Yeah. How about Congress, past, present, and future, participates in Social Security?
Yes, yes.
So all funds in the Congressional Retirement Fund move to the Social Security system immediately. All future funds flow in the Social Security system, and Congress participates with American people.
That'd be great, and then they have to also be under the Medical Care Act.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was going to mention that.
Make all of that applicable to members of Congress.
Would you like
that? You might get a different. Yeah, I think that'd be great.
It's behavior modification.
Yeah.
So Congress can purchase their own retirement plan just as all Americans do, and Congress can no longer vote themselves a pay raise. Congressional pay will rise by the lower of CPI or 3%. Would that work?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Good, right? And like you said, Congress loses, let's say they, in this proposed act, loses their current health care system and participates in the same health care system as American people. That'd
right.
be cool, right?
Yeah, sure.
How about Congress must equally abide by all laws they impose on the American people.
Well, that would be an easy one. That would be the one that would be easy to put in and see what they would do with that.
I mean, wow.
You know, because they do. They exempt themselves from a lot of different laws.
Why do they do that? I don't get it.
I don't know. They just...
That doesn't sound right, does it?
No, it doesn't. But I think they just kind of think they're separate and apart from those of us who have to work for a living.
Why? Yeah. I think you and I should go down there, fly to Washington, and propose this.
Yeah.
Should we?
We should do a remote, go down there.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun, right?
See how many we can get on the air that would commit to vote for that. So.
Oh, yeah, like Michael Moore did. Remember his movie, was it Fahrenheit 9/11, when he was tried to interview all the congressmen and say, now how many people do you have in the military, or
right,
something like
right,
that.
Yeah.
I forget. That was sort of funny, that part of it.
Well, as I say, it would be interesting to see what they would say and what they would do. But, I mean, it's hard to plan, and it's hard to tell people what to do when, you know, these things are just bouncing up all the time.
Yeah, crisis.
Because we used to, you know, We used to have tax reform acts about every 2 years, sometimes every 4 years.
I remember that.
You know, but I mean, when we got them every 2 years, it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
And now it's almost every single year there's something that you know, somebody wants to do something because it's a budget crisis or it's a debt crisis. And it's not small stuff anymore either.
No.
It's like we're going to do away with the mortgage interest deduction.
Yeah.
Or we're going to limit the amount of charitable deductions. I mean, these are really big-time things that they talk about, and it influences a lot of people in how they act and what they're going to do.
I totally agree. That would not be popular,
the interest
deduction deal or the charitable contribution. And, yeah, it is unfortunate, and it makes it difficult for us as professionals to plan or to help our clients plan.
Right, right.
And to plan ourselves, actually.
Sure.
So let's see. So that's our that's our discussion on the sequester and ways to end the deficit.
I don't know
if anyone will take that seriously. But that would be fun, going to Washington and do a man-on-the-street type interview with some politicians. You want to do that?
Well, I doubt we get anybody to talk to us. That's the problem. So,
what if we set up appointments, like we pick two from each side or something? Or we get them to have a debate. We did have a debate here. We had Bill Montgomery and Michael Kelsky once.
Oh, okay.
That was sort of fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was civil. Yeah. You got to figure, hey, that was sort of good. But
well, that's good.
I like Bill Montgomery.
Yeah, good
guy. He's really good.
Good guy.
Yeah, very, very smart and fair, I think. Smart and fair.
Yeah.
That's always good, right?
Yeah, no, I think he's a good guy, good county attorney. And they say, I think a lot of these things we've been talking about, the biggest, you know, it really is hard when you sit down and talk to somebody who's in business and like you say, either expanding a business or they're thinking about starting a business or they're thinking about buying a business. And you're saying, well, this is what it is today, but in 3 months, it might be different. I can't guarantee you that it's not going to be different. And as I say, in the old days, you could say, well, this is what it is today. If you get it done and locked in, you're going to be under this law. But today, that's the biggest problem.
Especially, you remember in the days when they would retroactive something, so you already planned and it went back to the first of the year, and you go, whoops, Mr. Client or Mrs. Client, guess what? They changed it. There's nothing we could do, but now this.
And I can't remember what year. Maybe it was in the 90s. Remember there was 1 year that they did something where they blended the tax rates in the middle of the year? That was the biggest disaster. It was just unbelievable. That was worse than carryover basis.
Yeah. It was craziness. And it's just like, well, let's put it this way. Would you ever run a business like that? No. I mean, no one ever would. So you and I got to figure out a way to get these people together in Washington. I'll make the appointments. We'll fly down there. We'll have a remote show. But they have great restaurants, so we'll have some good food.
Oh, that's true.
You like lobster?
Yeah, that's
good. How about King Crab Legs?
Oh, that's good, too.
They have really good food there, you know.
Yeah.
Have you been there?
Oh, I've been there. But they have really good food there because they have a lot of lobbyists that have to take people out to expensive dinners.
I think that's it. Yeah, I was there. I only went once, but I did like it a lot, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of good history there.
Yes, there is.
So that's always sort of cool, too. I went in August. It's humid.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, not a good time. But the winter could be cold.
Cold.
Right now could be good.
Could be.
Oh, no,
could
maybe
be.
In April.
Yeah.
Okay, after tax season. Anyway, starting a business. And you probably get clients that ask you questions, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's probably a lot of... probably one of the first questions I would guess, probably your question is like, what business are you starting? That would be important.
Right.
But once you find that out, probably selecting a business structure, what type of entity is that? How important is that?
Well, it's important. I mean, from the standpoint of whether you're going to be a sole proprietorship, whether you're going to be a limited liability company, whether you're going to be a corporation, or are you going to be an S corporation? I mean, there's a lot of pros and cons to each business entity. And for a small business person, I mean, it's important to make the right choice.
It really is, and to understand, I can't understand typically when I get a new client and they said, oh, yeah, I formed my own LLC or corporation, and I just had a case like this, a client that formed it, and they swore to me they elected S, you know, as a corporation, they elected S, and I go, you sure? You got the approval letter? And they went to this was in California, so they went to another attorney, and The attorney said, oh, you never get approval letters, so you're probably okay. And I go, no, you always get approval letters.
Right, right.
You have to, or else how do you know? And I called the IRS, and guess what? They did not file the 2553.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I need to do it.
Well, there's a lot of things like that. When I talk to people that are starting businesses, I kind of tell them, look, there's a lot of things that you're going to do when you start a business that you're probably better off to pay somebody to do it and do it right.
Exactly.
And then you focus on the actual business part of it, that you that's the stuff the lawyer and the accountant can't really help you with.
Yeah.
But you and I, we do 2553s. We know when they have to be filed, how they have to be filed.
Yeah.
And I always like when somebody comes in and they've been told, you know, they filed their paperwork at the beginning of the year, they started the business, and they come in about June or July and say, well, I think now I want to be a S corporation.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I think the time has passed for that election this year.
And it's really important, because if you have losses in a C corp, it could freeze it if you go to an S. So there's a lot of reasons. And I agree with you. That was actually my point, is just, you know, hire an attorney.
Yeah.
To do that. Some CPAs, I understand, do that stuff. I never do that. I think that crosses over to legal.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I mean, just get an attorney. Get your team together, right?
Yeah. And you know, and what I tell people, too, is get a good accountant, a good CPA that's going to help you with your accounting, your bookkeeping, so that you get that started right in the beginning. Because the worst thing that happens is somebody doesn't start that right in the beginning. And then a few months later, or a year later, or even longer, they're trying to figure out what happened when I started this thing. And it's just they spend way more money.
They really do. I totally agree. And so let's talk about that. You know, so people that are thinking of starting a business right now, sometimes you can have a business and you can switch entities too.
Right.
But sole proprietorships, is that still something you'd recommend? There's no limited liability there, but what do you recommend there?
Well, we don't do too many of those. I mean, if somebody's, if they're really thinking they want to do that, I mean, it's possible, but we don't see hardly anybody do a sole proprietorship anymore.
Yeah.
We'll usually put a limited liability company in just so that we have something between them and certain liabilities. The other thing we see a lot is what we'll say, we'll put the limited liability company in so you have some, you know, shield against certain liabilities.
Yeah.
But we always tell them that, you know, that doesn't mean your bank's going to not ask you for a personal guarantee if you get a loan.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I've had them come back and be shocked and say, well, wait a minute, you told me I was going to have this personal protection and my bank says they want a guarantee. Well, that's just kind of the way the world works.
Protection from lawsuits, perhaps.
Right, yes. Right.
Not from bank loans that you're guaranteeing still.
Right.
And it's if it's a one member, it's disregarded for tax. So it's still a sole proprietorship with added benefit of protection on certain liabilities that could have come across during the course of business.
And that's you know, for a lot of people, that's perfect, because when they find out they don't have to file a tax return for the LLC, it's going to go on a Schedule C on their own individual return.
So one return.
Yeah, it's really a good deal for them.
I think so, too. I'm a big fan of that. Now, some people, will like to form partnerships. Do you find many general partnerships these days?
Not many.
So mainly you're looking at LLCs with two members or more.
Right.
And the default rules would say it's a partnership unless you elect a corporation, maybe an S-corp. So what do you recommend there? If someone said, hey, should I form a corporation, elect to be an S-corp, or should I become a limited liability? And then the check-the-box rules say I'm an S-corp. What do you say?
You know, I tell them, if you really want to be an S-corporation, why don't you just form a corporation and elect to be an S-corporation?
Yeah.
Why do you form an LLC and then make that election?
Yeah, it's sort of funny. We've seen that before, haven't we?
Yeah.
And we can't figure out why.
I can't figure out why either.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, I think the LLC is a very flexible type of entity. The nice thing about an LLC, too, is that you can do some allocation of income and deductions if you follow the rules. In an S corporation, you really can't do that. You own so much stock, you own a percentage. That's the percentage of income and deductions you get, period.
Totally agree. Much more flexibility. Two members or more, treated as a partnership in an LLC. Special allocations, you're absolutely right. That gives some flexibility. You have to follow the substantial economic effect provisions.
Right,
but nevertheless, you can do that. Have a good operating agreement. That's where attorney comes in. Very important.
Right, right.
I believe.
Well, and the operating agreement, I think, is it's one of those agreements that people just kind of think it's a form, and yet it's really not. I see operating agreements sometimes that I just kind of shudder at because they obviously didn't understand, some of the tax provisions that have to be in it. And I probably, mine's a little bit, I put more tax provisions in it than I probably need just because if they need it down the road, it's at least there. And my experience on audits has been that the IRS agent will look, and if you have the tax provisions that they're looking for, they check it off and they go on. If you don't, you're going to answer a lot more questions.
Yeah, the 704B regulations
and
you might as well have it in comply. Why not comply?
Why not?
I mean, you should comply. S-Corps, you and I sort of have the same philosophy. We don't really like them. I mean, sometimes you have to have them, like in California, if you're a physician.
Right.
I think you have to be an S-Corp rather than a regular C-Corp, evidently. So, but if you have to, you have to. However, if you do have a choice, I'm not a big fan of S-Corps. You mentioned it earlier that special allocations can happen in partnerships, not S. But you got the second class of stock issue that can blow the S-Corp.
Right. Right.
It's just so much more inflexible.
Yeah, it is, and I agree with that. I think it's and before LLCs, it was clearly one of the things that people used a lot. And now I agree, it's not as flexible.
Yeah, it isn't at all. And of course, the wage things drive us nuts. I mean, you're, let's say, a sole shareholder of an S corp, and you provide you're the employee too. No other employees in this case, let's say, and you try to take distributions versus wages. I'll tell you, the IRS. Totally has a they spell it out
when
they give you the approval letter. Don't try, it's not quite said this way, but don't try to disguise wages as dividends. It's like, come on, and there it's high on the radar.
Well, I see people and they'll do that and they'll say, well, I'm going to pay myself a $60,000 salary and take $150,000 in distribution. And I go, good luck. I mean, if you get audited, I think
you lose.
You're going to get hit, and you're not going to win. So
it's amazing. And the Congress is involved. They're trying to change laws. They have over the years because it's a major abuse. And because I mean, look at it. If you were sole proprietorship or LLC one member, and then you were paying self-employment tax, and all of a sudden, just because you go to an S corp, it's different.
Right?
It shouldn't be.
And you're right, and that has been introduced twice, I think, by the IRS into proposed legislation. I think it's going to get passed. The next big tax bill we get, I think that's going to go through.
Because that's a big tax gap. There's a lot of revenue.
Sure.
The government's missing on that, but you get all sorts of philosophies there. But I'm with you. I like, let's keep everyone safe and sleeping well at night.
Yeah, exactly.
And so why don't we take a quick break and we come back. We'll continue our discussion. Starting a business, what do you got to look for legally from a business standpoint? There's a lot of things to understand starting a business, as well as if you are in an existing business, what to look for. And we'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship? your career, your life. Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum & Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac and Practical Business Solutions every first Monday from 3 to 4, starring Jim Heighton, the great law firm of Reidenauer, Heighton & Lewis. Actually, before we go on to a couple other questions regarding new businesses, tell us a little bit about your law firm, because you know I'm a big fan. I've known you for, wow, how long have I known you? It must be 12, 15 years?
Yeah, I think so.
And you just give phenomenal service. What I like, and I'll just brag about you guys because someone needs to brag about you guys. And I know most of the attorneys there, if not all of them, it seems like the same mindset. I mean, customer service, but with sophistication, though.
Right.
And you care, you concern, you're friendly, you do a great job, and fairness comes to mind, service from the heart comes to mind, and ultimate in sophistication. That's how I would describe you guys.
Well, I think that we do take it, you know, but we take it personally. I mean, we look at what our clients, what their issues are. We try to do the best we can for them. You know, we're concerned about the outcome. I mean, You know, once you get into a situation, I think in any personal service, where you're not concerned about the outcome, you're just concerned about what you're making,
yeah,
you ought to be out of that business. I mean, so, you know, we do look at that, and I think that that is one of the focus of, you know, that personal service. I mean, there's a lot of different ways people look at doing business nowadays, but I think personal service is the main thing you gotta always be thinking about.
Very, very important.
Yeah.
No question. And that, and I like your firm because it's big enough to have like major resources, but small enough that you still have the personal service.
Yeah, yeah.
You have what, about 30 attorneys now?
About 26 to 30, depends on who shows up.
So that's a nice, would you call it a boutique type of firm? Or
kind of. I mean, we're really a commercial type law firm.
Okay.
And but a lot of it flows from, you know, Bill Ridenour, because Bill is the kind of guy, he is always looked at it that, you know, you worry about the clients, you worry about, you know, how things are affecting them, how they're doing. And he's just got that, he's had that for years.
Yeah.
And I think that flows down when your top guy is the man who's saying, this is what we got to look at.
And what a great guy. He's been on our show before.
Yeah.
Such a nice gentleman. And again, we've had, I think, probably almost all your attorneys on the show. And I just think the world of each one of them. You must have great hiring practices or something, because you really attract some really good people.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it's tough to grow. We grew too, and it's in when we were in California, but that's challenging in itself. I think expanding.
Yes.
Maybe that we should do a program just on companies that want to expand, what to look for, the do's and don'ts. That could be challenging.
And even in the personal service area, I mean, you know, how do you expand in that? I mean, it's not easy. So, yeah.
I remember actually bringing this up. We started from scratch in 85 in Century City. And so it was, you know, like three of us at the time. And so we grew very quickly in 4 years, you know, probably 800 clients and 30 staff members. Good majority were CPAs. But what happens is in the beginning, you know, the clients are used to working with the partners,
right,
and then you get layers of staff, and all of a sudden they go, hey, what happened to you?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
when can
right.
I deal with
that's
you
right.
again? Does that happen too?
It does. And you know, I really still like to work with the clients one-on-one.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's the thing I enjoy most about what I do. And I think that's what I try to impart to everybody is, you know, that's the thing you should enjoy in the law practice is working with clients one-on-one. And, you know, as long as you enjoy that, I mean, you'll do fine.
Yeah, I think so, too, because it is a personal service.
Yeah.
I think that's very, very important. Now, on our break, you came up with a really great question, and I never thought about this. What business would people go into if they wanted to go in business in today's times? And what do you think? What are some of the things you would do, or maybe things you wouldn't do? Absolutely. May we start with that?
Well, I think, you know, I was thinking about that question because I was thinking, you know, what kind of business would you do? I mean, I suppose right now you'd look at some kind of business that wasn't so capital intensive.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a service type business of some kind. Because right now, capital is tough. I mean, you know, banks don't lend to new businesses very much.
No.
And then you got to find somebody who will, and that's usually expensive money. So it's probably a service-type business. But, boy, you know, it's a question about what would it be? I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. What would it be? I don't know. I mean, if you have the skill sets to be in business, well, let's think about the economy. We have a new show called Car Care and You.
Yeah.
And a great mechanic. And of course, in times when there's a recession or people unemployed, new car sales may go down a little bit, but used car sales go up, and you need a great mechanic.
True, true.
Alexander Car Care. I mean, they're very good, and he's a great guy, great service. But that involves a skill set, too. Sort of capital intensive, I guess, with some of the machines, right?
Well, and maybe, you know, like you say, I mean, maybe it's you can follow that into even like the residential context of, you know, people that are good at, you know, fixing things.
You
know,
a handyman
remodeling.
Type of person.
Yeah, you know, because people may stay in their houses more. Although, you know, now you see the housing market heating up, so more people are buying new homes.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to know. I mean, it's... like you say, there's a lot of businesses out there, but if you have to have a lot of capital, it's hard to come by.
So what's recession proof? What's good in a recession, and what's good when at prosperity?
Well, I don't know what's recession proof.
Yeah.
You know, you read different things, but I mean, I'm not sure that I've ever seen anything firsthand that I thought was recession-proof.
Yeah, I think as long as there's taxes involved, which I think there will be, yeah, as long as there's death, you know, they say death and taxes.
Right, right.
I think CPAs are pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's
probably
true.
Everyone needs
yeah.
a CPA.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's
still,
true.
I don't know. You know, it's interesting to say because, you know, because businesses, they can go bankrupt during recessions,
yeah,
and then CPAs can lose a lot of business from.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because, you know, I see a lot of people will go into, like, a restaurant business or something.
Yeah.
And you know, to me, I mean, I always look at who's involved, and you need at least one person who is a great restaurateur that understands that business. Because
no doubt.
To a certain extent, you know, when you go to a restaurant and you see them really busy at night, it's kind of a little bit like controlled chaos going on.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody needs to understand how that works and how they make money at this thing. Because, boy, that's a good way to lose money if you don't understand it.
Yeah, there's no question about that, and because it's quite a specialty.
Yeah.
I mean, ordering, you know, inventory. I mean, how do you do that?
Right, exactly.
You know, it's not easy and very capital intensive, and you see some mainstream restaurants going down. I mean, I was driving let's put Lone Star. I love Lone
right,
Star.
Right, right.
Everyone except the one in Camelback. And like 16th Street went out
is
in
that
Phoenix,
right?
And
wow,
and I really enjoy them, so I sometimes go there. But it just the competition, perhaps maybe
yep.
the location. I drove by Bell and 59th Avenue the other day, and guess what I saw? Or guess what I didn't see?
What's that?
TGIF.
Is that right?
I go what? But I think it was just that location. Now, could they have lost their lease? Maybe.
Yeah, could be.
Was it just a poor location?
Yeah,
maybe. But restaurants, right? You see some well-known restaurants just biting the dust, right?
Yeah, you do. But, you know, that's why, you know, when you see some of these others, that you know, and one that we're familiar with is the Wildflower Bread Company.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you just see how a restaurant is run well, put
very
in good
well.
Locations,
yeah.
and you just understand. I mean, you know, we know the fellow that runs that, and he knows it. So
he really does, Lewis. Yeah, and they instill a philosophy of, great customer service,
right.
and they walk their talk. I would encourage people to get out there, 75th Avenue and Bell,
right,
a little north of Bell, to see their new location.
But, you know, you look at all these little strip malls that are out there, and you see all these little stores
yeah.
that open up, and you know, sometimes I ask myself, what is going to happen with this? You know,
yeah.
what, you know, can they actually make it? The surprising thing is that some of these stores, they open up and they do make it. And,
yeah.
and either through just sheer determination of their owner
yeah.
or they get a little bit of luck. I think that helps sometimes too. But, you know, some of the ones I look at that open up, I think there's just no way this is going to work, and yet they do well.
Yeah, and it's important, though, anytime you start a business – number one, get the team. Get a great
right.
attorney like
right.
Jim Hyten. Get a CPA. I mean, I think a great business coach is sort of cool, too. And that would be very important.
Right.
Maybe a good IT guy, too, would be
right.
a girl or guy. But even if you're an existing business,
yep,
I always double check, you know, are you getting the best service, the sophistication? Just because you're with someone for 17 years doesn't mean they have 17 years experience. They may
right.
have just 1 year 17 times.
Right.
And they may
right.
have stunted their growth.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I hear that all the time. You probably do too. Like, I've had this guy for 17 years. I go, well, how come he missed this, and this?
Right.
You
right.
know, was it really 1 year 17 times? And he just stopped growing at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, loyalty is nice. But, you know, just sort of understand, you know, who your team is. A thing I get, I don't know if you get this question, business or hobby. So someone
right.
is starting a business, but is it really a hobby? And that's a problem.
That is.
Do you see that often? Or
not too often,
yeah.
but occasionally I do. I mean,
yeah.
I will see something that I say to myself, this looks more like a hobby than a business.
Yeah.
And
like typical ones would be photography. They buy a lot of expensive photography,
right.
and they sort of love it. And they, you know, you got to be careful, you know, if you're generating losses. There's a lot of information on hobby losses. I encourage
yes.
people to check that out.
That's one of those areas that the service is pretty good at because,
very good.
You know, they pick that up pretty quickly. And like you
yeah.
say, you know, photography, horses. I mean, you know, there's lots of different
yeah,
ones
things like that.
That.
Yeah. And you know, just there's a bunch of questions, court cases. I mean, some of the things you look at, does the time and effort put into the activity indicate an intention to make a profit? That's
right.
Real key.
Sure.
Intention. How do you prove intention? Are you advertising? Are you promoting it? Do you have a business plan? Do you have a set of accounting records? I mean,
right.
These indicate a business. I don't think the IRS cares as much like, oh, you're really, you know, you're not good at your business, but you're losing money. But do you have an intention
right,
to
right.
make money?
Yeah, yeah.
And how do you prove that?
Yeah. And most of the people I deal with, they do go into it to make money. I mean, it's there's a few of them, like you say, it's kind of a hobby to them. So
yeah.
They think, well, I can make money and be a hobby. But usually that doesn't work out very
well.
Yeah,
you could lose your losses. And they're not the IRS is not shy about that. And I could understand and appreciate the IRS that, hey, if you're going to be in business, you know, be in business, be full force. And we would recommend that anyway.
Right.
Whatever you do, do it well.
You know, the other thing I would tell people is when they're starting a business and they're looking at a business is if they have a particular business, the other part that always gets people hung up is the licensing requirements. Now, you might
yeah.
go into a business that has no licensing requirements, but most people have some kind of licensing
yeah.
requirement. Now, it's a good thing to walk through that with somebody, whether it's your CPA, your attorney, or somebody. And then when you find out, I mean, you can still go down to somebody and look at it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Can you believe the show just zipped by?
God.
I can't believe it. I got
You're
the
one-minute
signal. I don't understand that. 1 minute left. Jim, how do they get in touch with you?
The best way to do it is to call me on the telephone at our main number, 602-254-9900, and ask for me.
Wow, and of course that's Jim Hyten. Right now, our Hyten and Lewis great law firm, definitely get out there and call Jim just to say hi. I always said develop a relationship with an attorney.
Sure.
And, I always enjoy talking with you. We talk a lot, and we have fun doing it. So, anyway, thank you, Jim Hyten.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome. See you next month, and we'll see everyone tomorrow with other Breakthrough Thinking shows. Have a great night. Go Coyotes. Jobbing.com Arena, 7 o'clock. Anaheim Ducks. Should be a great game.